always look forward to our next guest. Nice to be able to turn to a voice of maturity and reason, a rarity in my life. He is the fine writer for the Register Guard. Find his work in the sports section. Catch up online, registerguard.com. Follow on Twitter. Use the handle at RGDuckFootball. Ryan Thorburn joins us. RT, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
All is well. It's those 2 days where it's just you catch yourself in the middle of the tidal wave and you figure if I just kind of hang on, it'll pass and I'll be just fine. You get driven nuts by recruiting, a part of the job, anywhere in the middle? What's kind of your gut feeling when this time of year rolls around?
No, I mean, I don't have any desire to cover it 365 days a year, but I do kind of enjoy it. It's kind of like the NFL draft. A Denver Broncos PR guy once told me, never has so much been written about so little. We don't know how good draft picks are going to be. We don't know how good recruiting classes are going to be. But in a few years from now, this is going to be a very important day for a lot of football teams. So it is the lifeblood, as they say, of college football.
Now, today you wrote about the process. They're going to dismiss their co-offensive coordinator over what happened on January 22nd. And it's like, hey, I've been fired before. It took like 4 minutes. Can you provide an update as far as how this is all working and maybe when Willie Taggart's going to be thinking about a replacement?
Well, David Reeves is still on their website as one of their assistants. There's probably some red tape, some legal things they need to get through, but it's pretty clear that he's not going to be with Oregon. Willie Taggart mentioned yesterday he's close to naming someone to come in and fill that spot. So it's only a matter of a time, and obviously they could use a tight ends coach and fill that out. But in the long run, from people I talk to in Florida and recruiting experts, I don't think David Reeves was the key to this thing. I don't think he will be missed that much.
You wrote about one of the guys that signed with this class, and that's Braxton Burmeister. And him in itself, his story is pretty interesting of how he flipped from Arizona to Oregon. But one of his mentors is probably the person I want to get more of a backstory on, of just what he knows of Braxton and his thoughts on the new regime. Is that's Akili Smith, the guy that trained Braxton Burmeister. What did you get from your conversation from him that you wrote your column on?
Quite a bit. I was really impressed with Akili Smith's knowledge of training these elite guys, and obviously he was an elite talent. An interesting thing that he told me that I didn't put in the story, kind of saved it for the future, is I said, what would it have been like for you in eighth grade to have someone like yourself training you? And he obviously went to the NFL, didn't have great success at that level, but he said in some ways he still feels underdeveloped. He could still be learning things. So Braxton is basically coming to Oregon with the kind of knowledge that Akili finally got as a senior at Oregon when Jeff Tedford was teaching him things.
That's pretty crazy.
You know, obviously you were at the press conference yesterday. Taggart introduced this class, and your colleague, friend of the program, Austin Meek, asked the question that was looming. You mentioned the Dewey, the players in the hospital, and how that played with recruits. How would you describe the nature of coaches' response, from terse to understanding or something in between?
Well, I think he had a good message for recruits and their parents that here's what happened, we're going to be honest with you, and we're going to move forward. I didn't really like that he threw the reporting under the bus. If there is errors in the reporting, I'd like to know what they were. I assume it's the description in the Oregonian that it was a military-style training. I'm guessing that's what he had an issue with, but the fact is, three Oregon football players were hospitalized multiple nights after working out with the new strength coach. So I don't think it's a long-term issue. I think it's a mistake that was made either by the players trying too hard or the strength coach working them a little too hard. But I'm not crazy about the fact that Willie's upset about it still. If he did nothing wrong, then he shouldn't be suspended.
You look at this class, and much can be said or can't be said about who could impact and who could play. But when you look at the team that's coming back, where are the weak points that you feel like a position could be won by a newcomer or a guy that wasn't a starter last year that could work his way into this lineup, you feel like?
Well, the obvious answer is defensive line. And we all know Oregon struggled mightily in the 4-3 last year. So I look at a guy like Josh Scott as possibly that nose tackle in a 3-4 at 350 pounds who I would think would have an impact right away, maybe not start, but definitely be in the rotation.
Right.
With Jim Leavitt, you have to think there's going to be some major improvement this year. And going to the 3-4, perhaps some of these players who struggled last year were more prepared for the 4-3. So if Oregon can just get to the middle of the pack in the Pac-12 in defense, they're going to be pretty good.
We're talking with Ryan Thorburn, registered guard, recruiting 2017 winding down. Something we all noticed upon Coach Taggart's arrival, his use of social media, at Coach Taggart is very active on Twitter. Do you recall a coach being this engaged? And does it seem that presence where the young people are just seems like a common sense, wise move?
No, in my time covering coaches since Twitter arrived, I covered Jeff Bozdelic, who wasn't on Twitter. I covered Tad Boyle, who's not on Twitter. John Embry, unfortunately, had to shut down his account because he was so bad and people are so vile. Black head coach, so his staff are a little subdued. So I think it's kind of refreshing. I mean, my timeline filled with recruits tweeting things I don't understand, but
that's a lot of us.
Where Willie Taggart is and what he's up to a lot of the times.
Yeah, you look at the staffs that across the country that have done that, and to me, Peterson does the woof. I think a couple other schools have come up with some slogans. It seems like for Oregon, it's maybe they've done something or they've gotten faster. I'm curious, though, how much if schools should just be able to announce, hey, this guy is this guy's committed. He's signed, maybe not his NLI, but he's signed a financial some kind of an agreement or something. Do you think coaches should be able to at least just go out there and say, instead of 541 calls in, hey, we got a commitment from Cody Shear? Like, I don't see the point in those guys not being able to do that anymore.
Well, I'm all for cutting the NCAA regulation book in half.
Yeah.
But that's right up your alley, though, Matt. They send out the quack, and you've got to figure out who it is. So I don't think you should be lobbying for that.
Well, I just think it's just silly that they can retweet a kid who says, I'm committing to Oregon. They can go out and say the 808 is signing in for, got another one from the 808, but they can't just go out themselves and say, Johnny Smith from New York is committed.
Yeah, it is silly, and really our whole culture is silly when you have grown men tweeting at these guys to go to Oregon instead of South Florida and stuff like that. So it's just the world we live in, and the recruits seem to enjoy it, and until the NCAA changes it, that's the way it's going to be.
Another interesting area that struck me, three guys listed simply as athletes, along with 2013, that's the most I came across of any class. I mean, we've had guys like Charles Nelson could play offense or defense. So in what you wrote, what did Coach Taggart have to say about maybe the versatility of this class with guys not being pigeonholed, to offer them a different way to go?
It's interesting because Austin and I and some other people were always talking about it. If Mark Telfrich were to get fired, is that the end of Win the Day? Is that the end of the Blair offense? Is that the end of the brand? And clearly it's not, because Willie Taggart is recruiting a lot of these DeAnthony Thomas or Charles Nelson types of versatile, speedy guys. So if I'm an Oregon fan, I'm excited because that offensive philosophy is going to continue. And then with Jim Leavitt and the way these guys are going after recruiting, it could be version 2.0 of what we saw a few years ago.
Yeah, playing off that and knowing that they're going to be somewhat similar. You could maybe see some similar things and the way they play offense and maybe defensively. Knowing who they've signed now, knowing who's decided to say no to the NFL and come back to school, and then you combine that with the returners, what's a fair expectation for this team going into the into the season? Because they have a quarterback, they've got a lot of starters back on offense, and like you said earlier, if they just marginally improve, if they go from just from god-awful defensively to just average, they probably win two or three more games. What's a fair expectation for year one for Willie Taggart?
I think it's fair to assume that Justin Herbert's going to get a lot better, that Royce Freeman's going to have a much better year, and that this defense is going to make a real step forward under Jim Leavitt. They're not going to be elite, they're not going to be great, but they're going to be improved. They're not going to be embarrassing, let's put it that way. So I would say 7 or 8 wins would be a fair measure, and if they exceed that, great. If they don't, they're still retooling this thing.
He is Ryan Thorburn. You could catch up with his work online, registerguard.com. You can find him in the sports section. You can follow him on Twitter. The handle is at RGDuckFootball. Ryan, always appreciate your time and insight. Thanks for joining us, my friend.
Anytime, guys. Appreciate it.
All thanks, right,
Ryan. Take it easy. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. A quick shout-out to my buddies over at